I love that scripture. Remain in me, abide in me. I heard about this reporter who was trying to go and find a story, interviewing successful entrepreneurs, and he was trying to find and build a story on self-made millionaires. This was back in the day. And so he finally found a person that he wanted to interview, and it was the first person that he found. And he goes to this man and he says, "How did you do it? How did you make all this money?" And the businessman said, "Well, I'm glad that you asked. Actually, it's a pretty incredible story. You see, when my wife and I married, we started out with a roof over our heads, and we had 5 cents between us. But we took that nickel, and we went down to the grocery store, and we bought an apple, and we shined it up, and we sold that apple for 10 cents. And the reporter said, "Well, what'd you do next?" And he said, "Well, I took that dime, and I bought 2 more apples, and I shined them up, and I sold them for 20 cents. And so by this time, the reporter, he's getting excited because he realizes, you know, this is leading to just the kind of story that he's wanting to write about. And he says, "Well, then what happened?" And the man said, "Well, then my father-in-law died and left us $20 million. You know, that man prospered not because of his own business savvy or ingenuity, right? But because he was connected. He was connected to the right person. He was connected to someone else who was wealthy. I love our scripture. Abide. Connection. I love that word, connection. What does it mean? What does it look like to be connected to somebody, to abide with someone? That's what I want to talk about this morning. Abiding in Jesus. Connecting to Jesus. You know, there's a lot of sermons that I preach where I really leave a tough challenge. That's often I tell you, those who say, you know, "Man, you really stepped on my toes." I just tell you, I was stepping on my own toes. You know, I'm preaching to myself. That's often my response, because that's really how I do that. I just challenge myself with things I want to see in my life, and sometimes it helps others as well. But this lesson is a little different, because this one is more of just a positive lesson. It's not a really tough challenge, but it's one that it will change your life. But it's really just, I want to talk to you about the blessing of being connected to Jesus, about staying in relationship with Him, the importance of it. This is not a difficult lesson, and I'm letting you know that from the beginning. It's a basic, simple principle. Abide in Jesus, and blessings come your way. Staying connected to Him matters. And so let's talk about what it means to abide and to keep on abiding, and to use the metaphor that Jesus uses, to be the branch connected to the true vine or the tree, and staying connected to Jesus. And first of all, here's what it means. When I thought about this, I realized, number one, it means power. It means power. You know, when you hear somebody and they say, "Oh, I've got connections." What does that mean, right? What they're saying is, "I've got power. Not because of who I am, but because who I'm connected to," right? I'm connected to the right people. They're saying, "I know somebody," or "I have a friend who's high up in the company or the business," or whatever it may be. Have you ever been along with someone who was high up somewhere and you're treated like royalty? Not because of who you are, but because of who you're standing next to. It makes a difference, doesn't it? And that's the same idea here. You've heard the phrase, it's not what you know, but it's who you know. It's who you know. And isn't it the same way with Christians? When you think about this, like I said, it's not going to be a lesson that's going to blow you away, but the simple truth makes a difference. It's not what you know, it's who you know. But this is something I wrestle with so often, because I get so caught up in trying to pursue the next new thing, the next big idea, the next earth-shattering lesson that's just going to rock the church. And in reality, the power is not found in my creativity or my ability or my thoughts or my knowledge. The power is found in who I know. It's found in Jesus, right? No matter how much theology or scriptural knowledge we have, no matter how much Greek or Hebrew that we can rattle off into a sermon, no matter how much talent we possess, no matter how athletic, skillful, how many credentials, how popular, no matter our inspiration, determination, or motivation. You like that alliteration? That's pretty good, huh? If we don't know Jesus, we don't know anything worthwhile, right? If we're not connected to Christ, we can't accomplish anything. And that's what Jesus said in verse 5. I am the vine and you are the branches. He's laying out this simple message. But the disciples, I think if he were to point out one message that his disciples needed to get when he left, this is the one that he would choose. That's my opinion. Take it or leave it. But this is a very important message to Jesus. I'm the vine and you're the branches. And he who abides in me and I in him will bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing. And it's just that same concept. Vernon, I think I saw you this morning. I don't know where you're sitting at. There you are. Vernon preached taught an amazing communion talk about a month ago. And it stuck with me ever since you taught that. That was one of the best communion talks I've heard in a long time. Best sermon illustration. I'm going to reuse that, by the way. And so I'm going to steal from you. I'm just letting you know ahead of time. It was a great talk. And he just talked about how he was sitting on his back porch and he was reflecting and he's sitting in his rocker and there's two stumps out in his field. And he was just looking at those stumps and one was eaten up with ants and the other was thriving. And the one that was thriving had a cross connected to it, you know, and there was life from the stump that was connected to the cross. And the same thing's true with us in our life. I love that. There's life found when we're connected to Jesus. And apart from him, we can't do anything, no matter how talented we may think that we are. And abiding to him, staying connected to Christ, means being connected to the greatest power in the universe, right? And that's not an overstatement, and it's not some, you know, Marvel superhero made up kind of a thing. This is a true statement. Abiding in Christ is being connected to the greatest power of the universe. Jesus, you know, you always say to your teenagers, you're not the center of the universe. Jesus is. That's not, you know, I wonder how Mary handled that as his mom, right? You're not the center. Well, Colossians 1, 15 through 17. Don't you wish we could do that? I hear the kids laughing out there, right? Yeah. Don't you wish you had that excuse? But we don't have that one, right? We miss out. Colossians chapter 1. Look at this. Colossians chapter 1. And we're going to start in verse 15. Listen to the connection. When you're connected to Jesus, when you abide in him, when he is your Lord and Savior, this is who you're connected to. He is the image, this is Colossians 1, starting in verse 15. He is the image of the invisible God. He's the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and they were created for him. And he is before all things, and listen to this, and in him all things hold together. He is the center of the universe. And so you talk about having connections, right? You show up to the country club and you say, oh, I've got connections. Because as Christians, we have the blessing of being connected to the one who holds the universe together in his hand. You know that old song? He's got the whole world. Yeah, yeah. No, don't keep singing. Stop. It's a catchy song, and we could sing the whole thing, right? He's got the whole world, and it's true in him, literally. All things hold together. I love that concept. And this is a beautiful thing for us who are born again. Amen? It might be a simple sounding message, but it is life-changing. Stay connected to it. If you have that kind of connection and you're walking through the country club, would you leave the side of that person? No, because the power resides there. And yet, don't we struggle with that? We get caught up in our life. We get caught up in our jobs. We get caught up in pursuing the next thing and thinking, I've got to get myself to where I need to be. And we leave the one who holds all the power standing behind saying, where are you going? Come to me, all you who are weary. Stay connected and you'll have life. I love that. And Paul takes it the step further when he says, and that's why he says it in Philippians, you know, I consider everything else rubbish compared to the surpassing greatness of simply knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. Right? It's not, I consider everything, you know, rubbish except living for him. I consider everything rubbish except sacrificing for him. I consider everything rubbish, except for simply knowing him, because it's about the relationship. It's about the connection. And Paul got it. And he understood, number one, there's power to be gained in being connected to God. But number two, it also means that we have God's continual presence. And isn't that comforting? You know, God's continual presence, it's kind of one of those things that kind of goes over your head when you're reading about it, and you'll read those verses, I'll never leave you nor forsake you, and it doesn't matter to you sometimes. It's like, yeah, that's great, but then when you are experiencing that loneliness or that pain or that hurt or that sorrow, you start to realize the importance of God's presence, don't you? Some of you right now, I'm speaking to you, you're in the moment where that verse means more to you than any verse else. I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. And you hold on to that promise through the brokenness of your life because you understand that through your connection to Jesus, you can overcome whatever it is that you face because of his continual presence. We're not alone. Someone shares our life. Someone is there for you. And I honestly believe that that's huge because there's nothing, I think, worse and more sad, maybe that's the best way to say it, than a person who is totally and completely alone. What's the most lonely you've ever been? It's not a great topic to think about, is it? You know, but when I think about loneliness, a thought comes back to my mind. I've shared it with you a long time ago in the past, some of you may remember, but I can't help, what comes to my mind is that image of when I took that mission trip to Mexico City, and I was there, and you know, we're doing typical, you know, mission trip things, and it's an amazing experience, you know, handing out Bibles to people on the street, you know, and eating some tacos that were right off the side of the street, and oh, this is just so cool, and it's all fun and games until we walked onto one particular street. And I'll never forget the impact of that moment. And it was a 30-minute experience, an hour experience that I will hold on to for the rest of my life, folks, because it changed me. And it was a street that you could smell before you saw it. And as we rounded the corner and all of these people, I just, as far as I could see, as far as that street goes on, just people. And many of them just complete, no clothes. It was just they stink. And you see these mattresses just leaned up against the side. They're just underneath the mattress, between the wall and the mattress, just trying to get some kind of shade on a hot day in the middle of Mexico. It was a horrible experience. And we just brought some sack lunches, and we would give them these sack lunches. And these people would sit down on the same street that they're using the restroom, right? And they would sit down and eat off of that street, these sack lunches. You know, for us, we would take the sandwich and we'd probably lay out the bag and we would put it on the bag when we're done. Not these people, because it doesn't matter to them. It's just a blessing to have food. They're not worried about being sanitary. They're worried about making it to the next moment. But what struck me the most were the kids on that street. The kids with no family. No parents, no guardians. They've just wandered into this street because there's nowhere else to go. And it still breaks my heart as I think about that. And then as we're there and we're feeding these people, our group leader takes us over to the side, and he knows that this is an impactful moment for us, and he kind of talks with us for a minute, and he says something that just was even more real. And he said, look, these kids, they have nobody. And he said, oftentimes they'll come and try to find a spot to sleep, and we've got a problem in the city with them sleeping in the garbage, in the garbage dumpsters, and they won't wake up when the trash compactor comes, and they're getting killed. And I mean, that image and that street, I could still see it in my mind. The real loneliness of those kids, and it was just heart-wrenching, and you just wanted to pick them up and take them home with you, you know? But there were so many. And in that moment, I got a picture of the real tragedy of true loneliness. And I also got a great appreciation for the presence of God in my life. For the presence of God that can heal all loneliness. I know that's an extreme case of loneliness, but we all suffer from it at some level, don't we? We all face moments where we're hurting and we feel alone and we feel helpless. But the beauty is that we're not alone. I actually heard of a ladies support group who met once a week for lunch, and it was a group of older women, and they called themselves the "It Wouldn't Hurt If You Called Once in a While" club. You know, I thought it's really funny, but at the same time, it's like, ah, that's a whole group of women who are trying to come together, and they're all facing loneliness. And the good thing, you know, about it is that they are finding connection. But ultimately for us, the feelings of being disconnected are healed when we're connected to Christ. We are never alone. And he told his disciples, this scripture means so much to me now, John 14 and verse 18. And he's looking at his disciples. And like I said, above all other message, I think these are the things that Jesus would want to share with them. And he looks at his people and he says, "I will not leave you as orphans." In my mind, as I read that now, that verse was always, it's always a powerful thing, but my mind goes right back to those streets, to those orphans that I saw. And he says, "I won't leave you there. You're not alone." What a blessing that is. And Jesus meant it. And he says, "And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." We're not lost children on our own, having to fend for ourselves. Folks, we are connected. And that matters. So, being connected to Jesus, abiding in him, means having access to his incredible power. It means having his eternal presence in your life. But number three, being connected to Jesus means, and this one's the kind of tough one, living a productive life. That's what it means, right? It's not just gonna give you blessings, but it's gonna change the way that you live. Being connected to Jesus is gonna bless you with grace. It's gonna bless you with truth. It's gonna bless you with his presence. Being connected to Jesus brings a lot of blessings, but it's also gonna change your life. And that's a blessing too, although it's one that we don't often acknowledge as much, right? Because it's a more difficult truth. In our text, Jesus says, "I am the vine and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes it away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes it that it may bear more fruit." And so notice there's this idea of God pruning us so that we can be more fruitful for him, right? How many of you are gardeners out there? Let me see your hands, gardeners. How many of you are wannabe gardeners and you have like two pots out there and you didn't raise your hand because you're like, "I'm not really a gardener"? I'm with you, right? That's me. Well, if you've ever raised vegetables, maybe tomatoes, right? You go out, and tomatoes is just the one I think of. Is it the same with you? When I think of pruning, I think of tomatoes, right? You go out to your tomato plants, and you take some of those leaves, and you pluck them off so that more of the nutrients goes into the tomato instead of going into the other places, right? And so you have to pluck away. Even sometimes, here's the deal, it's not just the bad and dead leaves. Sometimes you pluck away some good and healthy leaves as well, right? You pluck away good things. And that's what Jesus is doing to us. When we're connected with him, he's not just going to stand by you and put his arm around you and say, "Oh, it's all okay." He will, because his presence will be continually with you. But while he's standing there with his arm around you, he's going to say, right? Like he's going to be pruning. I'm not just going to stand here and give you, I love you too much to just let you stay the way that you are. I'm going to prune you as well. And so there's this grace and love in his continual presence. And there's also this truth of saying, "I'm not going to leave you where you're at." And so being connected to Jesus also means living a productive life. And listen, pruning always hurts. But James says in James 1 verse 2, consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, knowing that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. He's saying pruning is helpful even when it hurts. Hebrews, the Hebrew writer in Hebrews 12 says, the Lord disciplines those that he loves. And then in verses 10 and 11, later the same chapter, he says, God disciplines us. Why? For our good. Is discipline fun? Does discipline feel good? Is pruning something we just look forward to? Yes! Probably not in the moment, but it's something you look back on in your life and you say, thank you, because it brought me to where I am today. He says he disciplines us for our good so that we may share in his holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness. And so these passages are telling us that our hard times in life can help us grow, mature, and be fruitful. They may hurt, but the verse says later on, it's going to produce a harvest of righteousness. And isn't that what the Lord is looking for in us, right? The holy vine dresser is looking for a spiritual harvest, a harvest of the fruits of the Spirit that he talks about in Galatians. And so Jesus says, I'm the vine and you are the branches. So here's my one question for you to walk away with. If you haven't gotten anything, here it is. I told you it's not going to be difficult. But it's a question you need to walk out of here and make sure that you don't leave this room without asking it. Are you connected to Jesus? He says, I'm the vine and you're the branches. So are you connected to him? And if you're not, do not leave, please, without rededicating your life to him. Or if you've never been connected before, starting that relationship. The waters are ready for you this morning. And so if you haven't begun that relationship, don't leave without doing it. Because there's blessing to be had. Because it's not what you know, it's and knowing Jesus means being connected to the greatest power in the universe. And that relationship is available for you. Think about it. If you need to respond, won't you come as together we stand and sing.